Welcome to today's episode of the Injury Pros Podcast. We're going to have Dave Lieber of Lieber Insurance Group talk about insurance in general, auto insurance, the nuances of auto insurance, talk a little bit about homeowners insurance and other insurance, but there's some really good tips that are going to come out on how to buy insurance. Most people don't know what they're buying. Let's get into it. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Dave Lieber's here, and he owns Lieber Insurance Group, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
And that's an insurance brokerage, right?
Correct.
And you are a broker, right?
Correct.
And we've known each other probably approaching 10 years, right?
Yeah, I think it's been about 10, not more.
We work out together in the gym. Well, not together, but in the same gym in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get to talk about life a little bit here and there. And today we're going to talk about insurance. And we use you for insurance. And, you know, I thought it'd be interesting for our guests to learn a little bit about the different types of insurance that you offer, what considerations go into that. And, you know, just a little bit of nuances, because I know with auto insurance, half our clients don't understand what they bought.
Correct.
And that's a big problem we see in our industry. And I feel with brokers like you, you have the opportunity to educate a little bit more than somebody going online and signing up.
100%.
So just tell our listeners a little bit about Lieber Insurance Group.
So Lieber Insurance Group, we have been in the insurance business for about 27 years now. Over the last 15, we really started focusing on the P&C side, the home, auto, and business insurance. And that's kind of where we spend about 70% of our time. 30% of it, we still have an employee benefits book, so we do health insurance, dental, vision, life insurance, disability for businesses as well. Our goal is basically to have as many carriers as possible for our clients. So every time a carrier comes into the marketplace, I make an effort to get contracted with them. We never want to have, options that we lose on. We're pretty good with our hit ratios and retention. What you were saying is so accurate about people buying auto insurance and have no idea what they even bought or what they have. I can honestly tell you 9 out of 10 policies that I get to review and shop, missing underinsured, low limits on under and underinsured. It's crazy to me that, and what happens is with captive companies, they have two choices if the rate goes up. You call up, the captive companies like an Allstate, State Farm, Geico, and they say, my rate went up, I didn't have any claims. Well, their options are, well, that's just the rate, or we can lower one of your coverages. They're not mandatory to have uninsured and underinsured. So if we cut them down to minimum, we can save you $42 a month. And people are like, okay, saves, because they're living week to week, month to month, and they don't tell them the consequence of that. So what we do at Lieber Insurance Group is we do it completely different. We do not sell a product based on price. So we have analyzed the policies they have. We provide the proper coverages for their needs, okay? Then we take them coverages that they need, that we recommend, and we shop the whole market for them to get the best rate. So if someone comes to us and says, I just want the cheapest policy, Dave, that's not what we do. We kind of send them down the street to someone else.
Yeah. All right, you mentioned a few things there. It was a great answer. You mentioned something called captive. Can you explain to our audience what that means?
Yeah, so a captive insurance company would be an Allstate, a Nationwide, Geico, USAA. Captive just means that they only have their product to sell.
Okay, so like somebody like you could only sell their product, like a broker.
Well, no, it's more of the corner office can only sell. An Allstate agent only can sell Allstate.
Okay.
State Farm can only sell State Farm. We can sell, like we have currently over 25 companies for home and auto in this area. So we get contracted with the independent broker companies,
okay,
as opposed to the captive company.
All right, so that's what a broker is kind of.
Yes.
You work with multiple companies.
Yes.
And your theory is that a client comes to you, or a person who needs insurance, a business person, just like we did, recently, mm-hmm, and we say, we need this type of insurance. We think we do. You educate us a little bit about that type of insurance. And because of your experience and background, you tell us, well, Mike, this is what I think you need. And knowing the size of your business or the revenue or how many employees you have, depending on the insurance, you'll say, okay, I think you should have this type of insurance with these four options. And I think you need this amount of coverage based on your size and risk portfolio, yep. right? And then you shop it around. You shop around to multiple companies, depending on the type of insurance. Mm-hmm. And then you give us those options, right?
Correct.
You're not always looking at the cheapest, but maybe if you get the best coverage with the cheapest, that may make sense for some people. But you're also looking at the insurance company itself, right? Mm-hmm. Its claims process, God forbid you have to make a claim, mm-hmm. and just the overall picture, right?
Yeah, you've hit it right on the head. I mean, it's exactly right. You know, we always try and get our clients into the standard companies, but if there's some risk issues as far as claims or, you know, industry, you might have to go to a secondary market, but we always try and get them into the standard market, like a Chubb or a Hartford or a Berkshire Hathaway or a Travelers. And that's where you can get the best rate and the best coverages. So there is a lot of, you know, tweaking when it comes into the commercial and the business policies. But yes, we will try and find the coverages that you need as a business owner based on all them factors you just mentioned. And then, you know, at that point, if all the companies are equal, which the main companies like Chubb, Guard, Berkshire Hathaway, Travelers, they're all kind of equal as far as their policy language. So then that becomes a competitive rate issue then.
Okay. So your companies that you have agreements with, right, that you write for or write with, that you set us up with, I'm sure you vetted all those companies, right,
yes.
to a degree, and you're not going to offer any of your clients a company that's substandard or takes advantage of claims or anything that you know of.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. 95% of the companies we use are all A-plus rated. Okay. But again, because of some claims issues that could arise, between claims or credit or industry, there's some issues that would send them into a substandard market, which we will accommodate, but that's about 5-10% of business.
So it sounds like you have to constantly educate yourself on what's going on with these companies.
Oh, yeah.
To stay on top of
it. It's very cyclical. Like, you know, for right now, for instance, we have about six carriers that are writing 80-90% of all the business for home and auto.
In this region?
Yes. In Southeast PA and a little bit in New Jersey. And 3 years ago, it was an entirely different five of them companies. 2 years from now, it may be six different companies. So the companies will come in, they'll gather market share, you know, they'll have some claims experience. Now they want to tighten up their books, so they will shut new business down or raise the rates to, you know, point you elsewhere.
Yes.
New companies will come in and gather the market share. So it's very cyclical. So we are constantly meeting with reps, checking out the companies, going to seminars and figuring out, you know, who's in the game, who's coming into the game, who's leaving the game.
It's so interesting, like it changes so often, like even geography, right? With it, whether you're in the counties, in the city you were mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we know things like Florida, for example, where, you know, a lot of insurance companies don't want to write any.
Yeah, it's almost closed state. Jersey's pretty closed as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that live in our area here, Bucks County and Philadelphia area, that have beach houses in New Jersey and all that. So they have to deal with that. So it's interesting. Just one question before we kind of get into your background and how you got here. Always curious. We see these TV commercials about bundling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have my homeowners and my auto bundled. Is there really a discount? Is there really something that's beneficial for the client, the person who's buying the insurance, to bundle with, you know, different types of insurance with one carrier, for example?
Yeah, bundling is an actual good, legitimate thing. Now, I would say currently, about 80% of all the policies, right, are bundled, home and auto together with the same carrier. 4 years ago, it was crazy because we had like four homeowners companies come out, and all they wrote was homeowners. They didn't write auto, and they had great rates. So at that time, we had about 60 or 70% of our policies we wrote were not bundled.
Okay.
So it still comes down to what's the net result of the home and auto combined.
Okay.
So we shop it up. I mean,
those are the two commonly bundled, home and auto.
Yes, it's simply home and auto. You get the most discount for bundling home and auto. You know, some companies will market that the more lines you have, the more discounts you get. It's kind of overblown. You get the biggest discount for home and auto. You get a tiny discount if you have a motorcycle with some carriers. Most carriers, you don't. Once you got the home and auto, you got the biggest bundled discount. And it is a good discount if you can get them together with the same company, but it's about the net result.
And if somebody like myself would come to you and say, hey, Dave, I really need a new, or for whatever reason, a new auto and home policy, and you find the right company with the right bundle, and we agree that that's the best company for us and our family. What happens the next year? Is it like totally on autopilot with your firm, or are you always reevaluating every year and advising your clients what's best for them each year rather than just put it on autopilot?
Correct. We reshop our clients every year with every new carrier in the marketplace. So as we go each year, like currently I'm getting 3 new contracts as we speak. So next year when we reshop our clients, they'll automatically be into our rater. We have what's called a rater. So we just type your info in and boom, hit go. It shops every carrier that we have at that time.
Does that include like claims history too?
Yes. Okay. Everything.
So your new clients have to be honest with you with claims history.
Well, they don't have to because we still run reports every year.
Oh, you have access to that?
Yeah. Okay. So we will know the renewal will come in reflective of any claims or credit changes or violations. So, you know, we'll get their new renewal rates. Cool. Then we'll re-input. All we basically do is go into our system, change the date, make sure all the vehicles are the same. We hit go, and it shops all the carriers we have at that current moment. And then we determine there which carrier, if a carrier, would be better for the renewal.
Is that all done on computers today?
Yeah.
You don't have to call each company?
Nope. It's all automated. We type their info into the computer, into the keyboard, into our rater, hit go, and it shops every company.
How long does that usually take?
Front to back to input a client and get quotes. 10 minutes.
10 minutes. That's great. So I guess people would be asking, if they've never used a broker like you, does it cost them any more to use a broker? Do they have to pay more for their insurance? Because like if you use kind of like a real estate broker, everyone knows brokers get fees and usually has to be paid by the sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you buy insurance through a broker like yourself, does the client get any addition? Do they have to pay any fee for your services, or does it come out of the insurance company in the back end?
Yeah, that's what's great. We don't get paid anything by the client. It's all, you know, I'm not going to say free, but we're going to shop it for them. And if we write them, the insurance company pays us a commission.
So the insurance company is really paying you, yes, like a commission based on you selling that policy,
yes,
getting that person in. So then are the rates artificially increase for that percentage, or what do you see in your industry?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they have to accommodate for the agent's commission. So technically, yes, it would be the rate for Travelers would be X, the rate for Liberty Mutual would be X, and my commission comes right out of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if technically, we don't really say it's inflated because of our commission.
Yeah.
The bottom line is the rate's the rate.
And they're paying it, so the client doesn't have to pay anything. Like, for example, in personal injury law, right, people refer us cases. Other lawyers refer us cases. We can pay other lawyers' referral fees. But our fees percentage stays the same. We can't increase it 5%. We can, I guess, if we want, but we don't.
Right, right.
Because yeah, that's not fair, right? You know, oh, so-and-so referred you this case. Now, oh, I'm going to have to bump up their fee 5% because I got to pay him out on a referral fee. We don't do that. It's just part of what's worked in there. And just wanted our listeners to understand that coming to somebody like you, it doesn't cost them anything.
Doesn't cost them anything. We shop them for nothing. We don't make a penny. And if we don't write them, we didn't make any money.
Well,
it's what's good for them. If I shop 25 companies for a client and I tell them, hey, we can't beat what you have, well, they're confident and comfortable and happy knowing that I just shop 25 companies and they love it. And they call me back every year. Hey, Dave, because I tell them, just hit me up when you're renewal comes in and we'll reshop it. We already have your info. And they love that.
So these are people that are not your clientship?
Correct.
So
referrals.
You will give them a free insurance review?
Yeah, free analysis and review.
And at times, maybe the companies that you work with can't come up with a better price. So you turn them away, but you say, oh, come back next year and we'll check it again, right?
Yeah.
So that's almost a free service, which sounds awesome.
It's great for them. I mean, they're comfortable and confident knowing they do have the best rate. If I can't beat it, if Lieber Insurance Group can't beat their rate,
okay,
they get a good rate.
Great. So if a new client gets referred to Lieber Insurance, say if a FOSS court is going to say, one of our clients says, hey, Mike, you know, I'm looking for a new insurance company. Do you have any recommendations? And I refer them over to Lieber Insurance. What can a prospective client that's first contacting Lieber Insurance expect from you or your team? And what's the process like?
So the process is basically, you know, you reach out with the referral and then I connect with them directly. And, you know, I just introduce myself and It's basically just getting a copy of their current policy declarations, driver's license info, if it's home and auto. If it's business insurance, there's going to be a little more involved, but I walk them through the process of what we need. And then we started basically on an email chain, gathering the info. Home and auto is really simple. Like I said, 10 minutes. Once I have all the info, 10 minutes, I got quotes for them.
That's right.
Business insurance is a little more of a lengthy process, depending on the business type, claims history. That can go on and on, but yeah. 10 minutes, it's a real simple, easy. And it's funny you say that, because I have so many people, like, you know, I do social media marketing and I have a service that does it. And you can't be too overbearing with social media, as you know, right? You can't be posting every day, or people just swipe and they don't. So it's very strategic,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But so many times have people come to me, they finally reach out to me and say, Dave, I've been meaning to do this for a year. And I see you all the time, and I just let it go. I don't bother with it. It just comes out of my checking account.
Yeah.
So one guy's like, I saved him $3,200 a year. It's a good friend of mine.
Well,
$3,200 a year, and he's so mad that
home
and auto.
Wow.
You know, it's home and auto.
A big chunk.
Oh, I'm saving people anywhere from this week alone. I save someone $1,800 a year, and I save someone $2,800 a year. Wow. And it's funny, the one I saved $2,800 a year hasn't even called me back yet. I'm like, we can't fathom, like, if someone tells me, Dave, you're gonna, I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
And it's a strange, you know, thing going on.
You gotta let them know.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to be too pushy. Hey, did you see this? You know, it does say $2,800, not $28, right?
They should be happy, right?
Yeah, but we are really, I mean, you know, on our website we have, and when we do social media posts, we do what's called a spotlight savings.
Okay.
And it just says, hey, we were able to, you know, move this client referral from State Farm to Travelers. We saved them $1,900. And it's just, and then 5-star reviews we get a lot of. We post them. But, and you know.
It's like a case result we post.
Yeah.
Talking about how you helped your client.
Exactly.
And how much you saved. And the best part is it's free.
It's free.
It's free. You know, you're kind of like in our business. If we don't win, we don't get paid.
I'll tell you what's even funnier. I have multiple people that I don't have on the books because I wasn't able to write them, call me for advice. They don't call their current agent or broker.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the State Farm offices and Allstate offices, you know, you have the owner, and then he has a lot of employees. Some are licensed, some are not. So they don't really have skin in the game.
Yep. Or they're too busy, or they're not in the office.
Yes, very rarely. And so,
I have one like that.
And
it's very hard to get a hold of. He used to talk to me all the time. But then he's gotten
autopilot.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's funny the dynamic there. But I have people that call me for advice all the time, but they're going to give me their business.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to pay more to come to me, right? Yeah. But there's cases where people have paid more money to come to me because I'm so responsible.
Because they trust you.
I answered the phone. I had a lady. She says, Dave, I don't care what you tell me the cost is, because I called her back instantly. I'm constant contact with her. She says she waited 2 weeks just to get them to send her a policy. She can't, I see this a lot out there. It's unfortunate, but we just strive on service. Like, our retention's so good. We've been doing this a long time. We're always accessible.
We're all in the service-based industry. I tell my employees that every day. We're just selling different things, and the attorneys are still in sales. They have to sell everything. We say we have to sell our spouse. We have to sell everybody, our kids, and what we need to do, but the attorneys have to sell, you know, the insurance company, the juries, we're all just something here.
Yeah,
and a lot of us out here are just customer service agents. And that's the kind of how I hire employees, is looking at, like, are you a good customer service person? Do you care about people? And that's what you'd want to have in your business. So let's get back to Lieber Insurance Group. It's mostly Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, we're about 80-90% Pennsylvania.
Okay. And obviously personal and business. Let's talk about auto. Because, you know, we do a lot of car accident cases here, and we'll specifically talk about Pennsylvania. So tell us a little bit about, like, insurance is required in Pennsylvania, right? To be on the road, I think most people know insurance is required. But our limits are pretty low in Pennsylvania.
Right? The minimum limit required is terrible. Yeah. $15,000.
$15,000. So that's
absolutely crazy.
To get on the road legal, if you injure somebody or kill somebody, the minimum that's required by Pennsylvania law is only $15,000, right? And we see it here all the time. I have cases with death cases with $15,000. That's it. And it's sad. And it barely pays the funeral bills.
Yeah.
And most of the time we end up waiving our fee because we feel so badly for these people. And this becomes one of those cases where I always tell my staff, we just have to do it. It's the right thing to do. can't leave these people hanging just because we're not going to make a fee on the case. So anyway, so $15,000 is liability, and that means if you cause a crash, what would protect you, right? What pays to the other person if you hurt somebody else, right?
Yes.
So that's part of it, right? And then there's another thing that's commonly referred to as PIP, right? Tell us about PIP. What's that mean?
Well, personal injury protection is, you know, it's basically you have, so there's like seven components in an auto policy. It might be eight.
Yeah.
You know, you have your liability, your bodily injury liability. You have your property damage. You have your uninsured, your underinsured, and if you want to have comprehensive and collision. So, and what you were talking about with the minimum limits is it's bordering on crazy that you can drive around with $15,000
today. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a couple different caveats. One, you know, typically that person doesn't have anything. They don't have nothing to lose. They're driving it.
Yep.
Driving a car with minimum limits. Then the other factor is you got to protect yourself as well. You can't rely on other people to have proper insurance, right?
Correct.
So you have to have uninsured and underinsured coverages.
Okay. Can you explain for our listeners what the difference is and what that means?
Yeah. So your uninsured and underinsured protects you against another driver if he has state minimums or he has, you know,
no insurance, right? That's what uninsured
is. No insurance. Underinsured is if they have lower limits than you have. So, you know, typically we will write no less than 100, 300 liability limits, okay. No less, and 100,000 of property.
That's damage. Good to hear.
No less. We won't do it.
I wish you wrote everybody around here.
Yeah. Well, that's our goal.
Because we see a lot less than 100 often.
We honestly won't do it.
That's good.
So, perfect example, and I always give these examples. Like I told you earlier how these companies, the captive companies, are constantly lowering someone's uninsured and underinsured coverages to save them money on the rate.
Yeah.
They don't tell them the consequence of it. So I tell someone, okay, you make $100,000 a year, but you don't want to, you want lower insurance rates. So you have $1,530, right? Mm-hmm. And if that means the most you can get uninsured and undersured is $1,530 if you put it on your policy.
So you can't buy more uninsured or underinsured than you buy liability.
Correct.
Right? That's the rule in Pennsylvania.
Yes. You can have
the most other states. Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid, you know, someone hits you with no insurance, but you only have $1,530. You're out of work for a year. You're pain and suffering. You lost $100,000. You have pain and suffering. All you can get out of your own policy, they have no insurance, so you can't get nothing out of theirs. And all you can get out of yours is $15,000 or $30,000 per accident. So it's $15,000 per person, $30,000 per accident.
If there's more than one person.
Yes.
Yeah.
So $30,000. You lost $100,000 pain and suffering because you wanted to save some money on your insurance.
And what happens to the person who hit you? Nothing,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, can you sue them and put a lien on their house or their income? Yeah,
if they have
probably
one.
If they have a house.
And most lawyers know, like I've been doing this for about 25 years, people that have the minimum generally are either super uneducated, meaning they don't uneducated in the insurance law,
mm-hmm.
or don't have the money to pay, right? And they're just getting on the road legally, mm-hmm. right? Safe auto, things like that only write small policies, right? But we know as lawyers, if you have a minimum policy, chances are you have not much assets to go after, right? There's not much money in the bank. You probably don't have houses. There's just nothing to go after to sue them for.
Right. So they figure they don't have anything. But see, that's a real big, it's not a misconception, but it's a very important point because this is where broker with education and experience comes in.
Yeah.
That new driver, I'm still going to write them 100, 300. That portion of the policy rate cost is not the big cost. So it's not much more to give them 50, 100, or 100, 300. But they automatically go online and do it themselves, or they call an uneducated agent or broker.
Yes.
And it might be $10 less a month to give them
$15.30.
I'll still write that person who's new 100, 300. One, it's the proper coverages and it's the proper thing to do for them. Two, there's a thing called an insurance score, just like a credit score.
Okay.
So when you have 1530 limits of liability and you come to me with 1530 minimum liability and I go to shop the market, 80% of the companies don't even want that because their prior limits are too low.
Wow.
The standard companies. So I have to tell them, you need to bump your stuff up and then come back to me.
Oh, well, I never heard that.
Oh, yeah. So your insurance score is a combination. It's a whole algorithm of prior limits of liability, prior insurance. Did you have it? There's credit, accidents, violations, age. There's a, it's a whole.
All that goes into it.
Yeah. It goes into your insurance score. And it's sometimes cheaper, I kid you not, cheaper to give someone 100, 300 than 1530.
Wow. Why is that?
It's because if someone has gets 100, 300, the insurance company thinks, well, they're a more responsible person. Okay. More than likely, wow. Especially if their insurance score is higher, they give you a better rate than a 1530.
It's almost like a credit score.
Yes, it's right. Very similar to a credit score.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Do people actually have scores that you see, or is this something that the insurance company
does? It's not like a credit score, but like some companies will have an insurance score from 1 to 50 or 1 to 100. So sometimes we'll input people's info and it'll come back, you know, no quote generated IS score. So, you know, we have some bad either credit or
claims history,
claims and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Credit does play a big part in insurance. I almost think it's too much of a factor in the ratings.
Yeah.
But
are they just afraid they're not going to pay the insurance?
Well, no, I think it's all analytics that people with higher credit scores
are more responsible.
More responsible. Yeah. Yes. So it plays a huge part. I mean, huge. And it's almost bordering. Someone could have their credit shot. They went through an ordeal, medical, divorce, whatever.
Yes.
No accidents, no claims. Some companies won't take it because the credit shot. Or some will charge more.
Can you call those companies you're writing for and tell them their
negotiate?
Story?
No.
No, they don't
kind
care?
Kind of is what
it's
it is.
The algorithm they
yes.
have.
That IS score comes in and that's it, you know?
Wow. So, all right. So a couple other topics we want to talk about. Limited tort. You heard about that, obviously, right? Tell us about limited tort, if it's important to have limited tort or full tort or what that really means in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so in Pennsylvania, and you could probably speak to it better, but here's what I tell my clients, because I really can't tell a client limited tort's better for you or full tort's better for you. Why? Because limited tort, I'm telling them, telling you to buy a lesser coverage.
Yeah.
And I'll explain what I mean by lesser, and we can have a discussion on that. If I tell them to buy full tort, they're paying more money. I make more commission.
Yeah, I think it's safer to tell them full tort.
Well, I know you
as a broker.
I know.
You're safer.
I know. Well, they're still covering
it. It's still obviously going to cost more, right?
Yes.
Full tort costs more. Do you have any estimates of how much a full tort policy, like even 10%, 5%?
It's roughly about 20%.
20%.
So what I tell my clients is this, you know, I explain to them, Listen, with limited tort, you're not able to sue. You're very limited.
You have to have a serious injury,
yes.
Right? And that it includes impact to life. That includes diagnostic testing. That includes treatment. So somebody even with a broken arm that heals properly, they might not be able to recover for pain and suffering. Now they'll be able to get their medical bills paid up to their limits. What we call medical bills or medical coverage. PIP, part of PIP, right? Mm-hmm. But even with a broken arm, at least in Pennsylvania, that gets. You know, better in 6 weeks, they don't get over limited tort generally. So you have to have a more serious injury, more serious treatment, ongoing injury. There's no time limit for permanency, but it has to be, in the court's mind, serious. And there's a lot of factors that go into
it. Yeah, and if you're seriously injured and you broke your leg and you can't walk, you have to rehab. Like,
that's serious.
Yes, that's serious. And you can still sue. And, you know, a lot of people aren't suing type people, right? So it's up to them. I just have to explain them, listen, you're limited. Yes. You can still have a lawsuit. Full tort is much easier to sue. You don't have to prove serious injuries.
We would just love as lawyers for you just to educate them. And then they can make a sound decision based on their economics and how much they can afford.
That's exactly what we do. I tell you, and I tell the clients, I said 80% of our clients, it might be down to 70 now, because I really push the full tort if I can. Have limited tort. I said 30% have full tort. If you can afford it, we recommend you getting
it. I'm surprised it's that high, that, you know, limited tort is that high.
Yes.
You know, because you're not dealing with, like you said, you're not dealing with $15,000 policies. You're dealing with 100 plus, or you're pushing for 100.
The rates are so astronomical right now.
Wow.
It's just people will not pay the extra. Like, I mean, I have most of my personal clients do the agency on whole, like, all the clients that are in there, and I'm constantly educating them each year. Hey, you know, I think this rate went down. Let's look at full tort.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely better. We recommend it. But again, I have to educate them, let them make the choice.
I would bet a lot of money that there's no injury lawyer in Pennsylvania that has limited tort.
I would totally agree.
If that means anything.
Yeah.
So we really recommend it.
And I tell them the same thing. I say, if you call your lawyer or call any lawyer, they're going to tell you to get it, and they're going to tell you why. But you have to be able to pay that extra fee.
Yeah, it costs, but you need to know, in Pennsylvania actually makes you sign a form, right?
Yes.
You're actually automatically, is it limited tort? I forget which one it is, but you're automatically one, but if you sign a form, I think you go into limited tort.
Well, no, what happens is you sign for every coverage in PA, right? So I always send off trailing documents, T-docs, to the client to sign. They'll sign for what their bodily injuries. We have 100, 300. It'll renew at that unless we change it, 100 property damage. We have uninsured at the same level.
Yes.
Check, sign here. Or we chose uninsured, underinsured at a lesser level, this level, sign here.
Because that's what they wanted.
Yes. They're signing for every coverage in PA. There's been too many lawsuits, and this is a no non-discussion issue. You have to sign. And then tort, limited and full. You got to make sure they sign what they chose. Now, if I don't get them signed,
it's full
tort. And there's an accident, it automatically goes to stacked. We didn't talk about stacked. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
It automatically goes to stacked and full tort.
Correct.
And now my agency's on the hook. I'm like, no, you want a limited tort. No.
Well, how's your agency on the hook?
The insurance company comes back to you?
Yes, they can come back to us. If I say, no, they want a limited tort, and we have to change it to full tort because you didn't send the signatures in.
Okay.
Now, they have to provide that at full tort.
Yes.
So they have to go back.
What do they want, the premium difference from you?
Well, they could.
Yeah.
They could come after my E&O for, negligence.
But don't they request that from you after you write the policies? Aren't they saying, hey, Dave, make sure we have all those signature pages?
It's my job to have them signed in my system.
But
they only request them upon audit. So every once in a while, they'll say, hey, send me these 10 people's signature pages.
You would think today in the digital age, you would just upload that.
Well, there's a lot of companies that do an e-signature that will automatically file it at Progressive Travelers or somebody.
Yeah.
I don't. We're diligent in our office to get the signatures into our own management system so we know they were done.
Yeah.
One, and two, there's additional signatures that we need, like cancel forms to send to the old agency.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't want to send multiple e-signatures to people. Yeah. It's just I try to simplify it as much as I can. But yes, they are coming out with e-signatures that go directly to the carrier.
That makes sense.
So quickly, though, so we didn't talk about stacked and unstacked, which is very important. So when you choose your uninsured and underinsured limits, say we choose 100, 300 to match their bodily injury limits, you have a choice to either stack the coverages or unstack the coverages. Stacking the coverages means if you have three vehicles, you can use the liability from all three in the event of a claim. So you would actually have, if you had three vehicles, you'd actually have $300,000 per person and $900,000 per accident. 95% of all my policies are stacked.
That's
you
good.
Obviously can't stack it if you only have one vehicle.
Yeah, you need more than one vehicle.
Yeah, we make it mandatory in our office to stack.
Good. That's a good policy to have. I've heard in the past, maybe it's 5% more to stack.
It's not much more.
Not much.
It's 5-10. Maybe it's less than 10, maybe 5-6.
So stacking, you can also stack underinsured coverage.
Yes, uninsured.
So at one point, I had 4 cars on my policy. So I was able to quadruple my coverage for 5%.
Yes.
And liability is one thing to have, a huge liability policy to protect you in case you make it.
You're negligent and you cause an accident.
But to have 4 times the underinsured to protect you and your household residents, including your children, right?
Correct.
That's important to me, at least, and I'm sure it is to you.
And I can tell you that 8 out of 10 deck pages that I get to analyze and shop have unstacked. It's crazy. They had 8 out of 10 have 50,000 of property damage instead of 100.
Wow.
So property damage is if your negligent drives through a red light and you smash into a doctor driving his Mercedes, it's 120 grand. Well, the property damage portion of your policy pays that. So we total his 120,000 Mercedes. You only have 50,000.
Oh, wow.
They're after you for the difference.
Yeah.
So we give a minimum of 100. It's absolute. Standard mandatory in our office. Now that's going to cover 95% of all the vehicles on the road.
Yeah.
So,
but does it cover your own vehicle too? Because you're at fault for that.
Yeah. The property damage covers theirs, but yours is just covered through your comp and collision.
Oh, it's a different coverage.
Yeah. So if you don't have collision coverage, then your vehicle, you're on hook.
Okay. So there's difference between property damage and collision.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Property damage for other people.
Okay. Your collision and comprehensive covers your vehicle.
That's important because I mean, one thing that happens here in Bucks County a lot, we have deer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us have hit a deer in our driving.
If you live in the suburbs, yeah.
And unfortunate, it's unfortunate. The only way to affect that is to drive really, really, really slow at nighttime.
Yeah.
That doesn't always work out in real life, right? So you hit a deer, it messes up your car. Is there any coverage to fix your car?
Yeah, so
general policy.
So collision is if you are driving and collide with anything, another vehicle, a person, a tree, a pole, anything. That's collision coverage. Comprehensive is also known as other than collision, OTC, other than collision coverage. It's called comprehensive coverage, which covers vandalism, theft, deer.
Okay.
So I unfortunately tell people this, and it's, I don't know if it's harsh or what, but I'm like, if you're driving and a deer jumps out, don't swerve.
No,
in a tree. I said, don't swerve and hit a
just
car.
Hit the damn thing.
The deer.
Yeah.
Because it's comprehensive. It doesn't affect your rates. Tiny, tiny bit. If you swerve and hit a car or a tree, now you have an at-fault accident on your record, and it's literally surcharging you. And in today's rates, it's crazy.
I'm always afraid you can die when you do that.
Yeah.
You swerve off, you hit a tree. You swerve off, you hit a pole.
Yeah.
I always tell
You're putting everyone.
I tell everyone I'm with, just drive through it,
yes.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Hit your brakes as hard as you can, but just drive.
That is
hopefully correct. Your airbag doesn't go off.
That is so important. People, like, don't want to hurt the deer. But it
makes it worse.
It's crazy. Like, if you hit a tree or a pole, someone could get hurt. Like, and the claim just, you know, exacerbates itself.
What about, like, this happens a lot with everybody. A stone hits your windshield.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot. It happens to us every few years. You know, what coverages are there or do you have to pay for your whole windshield yourself?
So we always give full glass coverage on all our policies. So you're... A windshield, anything glass-related falls under comprehensive,
okay,
other than collision. 80% of comprehensive claims are glass-related. So we always give a $0 deductible for anything glass-related. So you could have a $500 deductible for comprehensive. That's if it gets stolen, vandalized, or you hit a deer.
Okay.
But $0 for anything glass-related. If it's a chip that has to be fixed, a broken windshield, a crack. So that's another mandatory coverage we always give.
Okay. That's interesting, and it's very protective because those windshields cost a lot of money.
Yeah, they're up to $1,200, $1,400, $1,500 with the sensors and the cameras.
They had to be recalibrated. We just had to take our car to the dealership to be recalibrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, most companies are offering a glass deductible. Some are at 50, some are at zero.
Okay.
90% offer that. So I would
make it a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. Well, it helps you. Your out-of-pocket cost. It's going to cost you a little more money, but it's like $5. $5 a year.
So a couple other things before we finish. People oftentimes think, I'm fully covered. I got full coverage. I hear that, and I kind of chuckle like you just did.
Because they think it's full tour.
I'm in the industry. What do they mean by it? They come to you asking, hey, I want full coverage, Dave.
Yeah, I do run into some people, and I always have a little conversation with people just to feel them out and see what they think they have. Do they know what they have? Most people are honest, and they literally tell me, Dave, I don't really know. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, your coverages are a little messed up here. Are you aware of that? No, Dave, I don't know. And I tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's just my personality.
Yes.
And, you know, I think 95% of people appreciate it, you know. And some people are like, they don't want to be told that they've been driving dirty for 5 years with terrible coverages or something,
yeah.
You know. But, again, I want the client that appreciates that.
Yeah. You're educating them. You're being straight with them.
So they say, Dave, I have full coverage, full tort. I full everything. Okay. What do you mean by full tort? What's the difference between full tort and limited tort? I just ask, and no one can ever tell me the difference, right? So as people do, you know, they're not in the insurance business. They just signed up online in a lot of cases. They had an agent that wasn't responsive and educational to them.
Yeah.
So full coverage is basically just means having comp and collision to replace your vehicle if it gets damaged. Full tort, we talked about, is a whole different scenario. That's your ability to sue in a lawsuit scenario. So full tort, full coverage, two different things. Full coverage just means, yeah, you can get your car fixed.
That's what I always thought it was. It was that collision coverage. You
yes.
had you had it. And you could drop collision coverage, right?
Yep. That's a mandatory coverage, yeah.
Yeah. So
It's a optional coverage. You don't have to have it.
You don't have to have it.
Yeah.
You do have to have what we call PIP, personal injury protection.
Yes.
That's the state minimum of $5,000, right?
No, well, medical, you're talking about PIP medical. Right? Yeah, medical is $5,000 minimum, okay?
Yeah.
You have $15,000, $1,530 is your minimum liability limit, $5,000. That's another ordering on, you know, absurd amount, 5,000. So as you know, the first 5,000 of everything gets paid out through the insurance.
And then we call that no fault sometimes. No matter who's at fault, your own insurance company pays up to your limits.
Yes. So, you know, one conversation we have, if somebody doesn't have health insurance, you know, we don't really ask that, hey, do you have health insurance when we're writing an auto policy? But we might notice that someone has 50,000 of medical HIP on their policy, and I would ask them why.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have health insurance. Well, that's smart. That broker actually did a good job.
Yeah.
We can increase that to the maximum if they don't have health insurance, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not a huge rate cost to do that.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So that's but most people have some sort of health insurance.
I don't know how much you know about health insurance liens. That doesn't come into your business as much, but certain types of health insurance have liens where if they pay for some of your medical bill coverage in an accident, you know, you go past the 5,000 PIP and now you're 100,000 into a car accident case, 100,000 into medical bills. Some insurance policies, self-funded ERISA plans, HMOs in Pennsylvania, any kind of government-backed plan, they want to be paid back a portion of the medical bills that they have paid.
That stems from the accident.
From the accident.
Yes. I haven't heard that, but it makes sense.
So personally, I have my PIP up by at least to 50,000 because I think I may have a lien on my type of health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You have no negotiating power generally. You just work for an employer or whoever getting you that insurance. You take your insurance. But, you know, how you can protect against a lien in a case for very limited amount more, as you just said, is to purchase more PIP.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One other thing before we finish up. Everyone asks me, and I don't have the crystal ball. I'm not inside insurance companies, but using different coverages, what increases your rates? So, for example, obviously, if you cause an accident and there's a payout to somebody else for property or for injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally, your rates. Now, there's accident forgiveness and stuff like that. You see marketing pleas for that.
Yeah.
But generally, in that situation, your rates or your rating is going to increase, right?
Correct. So pretty much any time your insurance carrier pays out, they're going to hit you. They're going to whack you. So the two different charges you'll get is an at-fault accident. You are at fault. You cause damage to another car, a tree, a house, whatever. That's an at-fault accident on your record. That's surchargeable.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing round numbers out there because it's all different based on how many cars, youthful drivers, credit, all this other stuff, right? But it's probably a minimum of 20-25% increase on your rate.
From one crash.
For one at-fault accident.
Yeah.
And then there's the one where it's a hit and run. You got hit and run, boom, that's a not at fault.
Okay.
Where you got hit in a parking lot, you come out, there's damage to your car, right?
Yeah.
That's going to get inputted as a not at fault.
Okay.
Not at fault isn't surchargeable,
okay,
but it's still a claim. So one, it prevents you from getting a claims-free discount. If that's the only incident you have,
okay,
prevents you from getting a claims-free discount, which is a huge discount.
That's cool.
So if you combine a not-at-fault with an at-fault, now they start showing a pattern. You could be at a red light Tuesday, get rear-ended, you got a claim. Next Wednesday, you're at a red light sitting there, you get rear-ended, that's a claim. You have these claims you're just not at fault for. Your rate's getting whacked because there's a pattern now. It's not like I can call the under. He was just sitting at the red light. It's a pattern.
That's if you use your insurance.
Yeah.
You make it clean.
Yeah. So if you have to use your insurance, but even if the insurance is, this is what's almost criminal about it. Even if you exchange insurances, it's 1,000% the driver behind you that rear-ended you's fault.
Yeah.
It still goes on your record as a claim, even though it's a zero payout. Don't these insurance companies still?
They talk to each other too, I'm sure.
And it prevents you from getting the best rate when it was no fault of yours. Just like you've had homeowners for 20 years and never had a claim. You put one claim and your rate goes up. It drives people nuts. It drives me nuts. I'm in the business. But
we always get this question. I didn't think it raised your rates, but what if you make a claim for underinsured coverage?
No.
Wasn't your fault.
Yes.
You're just using the coverage you bought. Is that
medical, and that will not
affect your rates?
That's good.
Yeah. You're pretty confident on most companies that raise that.
Yeah, that won't. If there's an uninsured or underinsured claim because someone no insurance hits you, they're not going to raise your rate. Some companies now, because of the dynamic and the inflationary industry and market we're in, could use that still to not give you the best rate. No, they rate you from, say, 0 to 100 tiers.
Yeah.
You know, the best rate's 100. Maybe it's a 97 percentile tier, but they are doing that more and more today. Everything's stricter today because they're Insurance companies are suffering a little because the cost of everything, building products, chips, paint, labor, is through the roof. Insurance companies put X amount in reserves. A claim today for $5,000, 2 years ago was only $2,000. So now these large claims are eating up the reserves. When insurance companies' reserves go, that's it. They shut their business down. So I did a quote yesterday, and one of the companies did not want this risk. They didn't want to insure. They didn't like the zip code or something. So the rate for the home came back at $9,400. Wow. All the rest of the companies were $1,400, $1,600, $1,800. And they just said, nope, $9,400.
Don't want to do it.
They can't decline you because they're licensed with the state to sell the insurance.
Okay.
But they can just price it out insanely.
Yeah, so that make no sense.
All right, wrapping up, is there any other advice? I mean, we didn't even get to talk about business. Maybe we can have you back on in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about business. Is there any other advice, like somebody's looking for, and our audience would be more about car insurance or homeowners. If someone's just looking, or say somebody's new, like, and they, you know, their parents are not, say, going up with my company, go with my company.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, they don't know much about insurance. They're trying to get on the road legally as required. What advice would you give somebody that's just looking for the first time for auto insurance? And what do you, you don't have to go through every coverage, but what do you suggest? How does somebody start to do that?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, it's just absolutely a no-brainer. You have to have a broker, someone who's in a broker environment that has multiple companies, okay? You know, I'm not here to beat up on a State Farm or an Allstate or Farmers. They're captive companies, and State Farm's a good company, and there's some sections that right now they're really good, right? But you have to have the options, and you have to be able, someone has to be in the game, right? Someone has to be involved in the agency like myself, you know, monitoring, overseeing.
Looking out for the person.
Looking out for the person, making sure we're shopping multiple companies. I mean, a minimum of 10. And educate them. Like,
yep.
Okay, Dave, do I need full coverage? My truck's a 2020. Okay, well, what first thing I say is, well, what's the book value? Find out the book value. It's $6,000. Well, if you get in an accident and you hit a tree and your car's totaled, do you have $6,000 to replace it, or do you want to have it covered?
Yeah.
It's that simple. They can make their own decisions. But my advice is 100% to find a broker in your area that has multiple carriers, okay? It's educated, and we'll educate them. And we'll continue to shop it every year for you. It's not like I write you this policy, I don't see you for 5 years, and I sit back and collect money. That's what happens in a lot of these agencies. It's 100%.
I know personally that happens.
Yeah. And we are not like that. We are constantly in touch. We have marketing programs built into our computer systems, into our managing systems, that's constantly reaching out to clients. Email blast, it comes personally from me. Checkups, you know, renewals.
Reminders.
Reminders, very active. And I also tell the client, you must call me every renewal so we can jump in and reshop it. You know, we have some automation in place that we can do it automatically, but it's very difficult when you have so many clients to do that. So I just tell the client, always reach out to me for renewal. But yeah, the biggest number one piece of advice would be to make sure you have a broker that has multiple.
It's a no-brainer, right?
It's a no-brainer.
Awesome. So can you just tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they are interested in getting insurance or learning about more insurance?
Yeah, it's Lieber Insurance Group. That's Lieber Insurance Group's our website. Dave at Lieber Insurance Group. Very easy. L-E-B as in boy, E-R. Dave at LieberInsuranceGroup.com. And Mike can always get you the info if you need it.
And your website, they can find you on the...
Yep, you can go on the website, request a quote. We had a great website, really nice, shows all of our carriers, our team. You know, there's articles, blogs, there's, you know, reviews, there's everything on there.
Awesome. Well, we love to educate people here too, and it sounds like you're doing the same. And auto insurance is so important because I think you use auto insurance more than any other type of insurance.
Yeah, I would say 100%.
Yeah, we don't like to use... you know, life insurance, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, so we're not around anymore. But auto, you need to know what you're buying. And that's where I think somebody like you will educate that person. To us, it's kind of too late. We can educate them when they're here about the next accident.
Right.
But if you're getting in there, it's a really good service you're providing. And, you know, I really appreciate it because, you know, the better coverage you have, the better chance you can recover fully for your injuries financially or even get to the right doctors.
Yeah, we have a saying in the office, I tell clients, this: you don't need insurance until you need insurance, right?
Yeah.
I've had people call me up, Dave, you know, we never got that disability insurance, but I blew my knee out playing hockey. Can I get that now? No, it's too late.
We've seen that
before. Your knee's now excluded from the policy, but I can still get it for you.
We've seen people sign up for insurance the same day as their crash and then call us to represent them.
We'll never write a policy with the same day effective date because people that call and say they need it right away, usually there's an issue.
Scammers.
We do 7 days in advance minimum.
Oh, wow.
And it also gets you a discount. It's called a future effective date discount.
Okay.
We will not write a policy on the first or tomorrow. It's always a minimum of 7 days in advance.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, a final thing. Earlier in my career, I was always trying to figure out, and I wrote a book on this, but how much, people come to me and say, how much insurance should I buy, Mike? You know, what's the right amount of coverage? And over the years, I finally come to a conclusion, even as a lawyer, like what if I say something that might not be correct? My theory is buy as much as you can afford. Because there's no amount of insurance. If I got hit on the way home and killed, you know, my future income, the loss to my family, there's very few companies, let alone people out there, that have enough insurance or companies, even with umbrella policies, which we can talk about on the next time, that will make my family whole again.
1,000% I agree with that. There's not one person in my book of business, probably over 1,000 clients at least, that's overinsured. Nobody is overinsured. Yeah. Okay, so one. Two, that question is absolutely pertinent to life insurance. Just had a 32 and a 33-year-old couple. I sent their application in for life insurance. And they were, how much do I need? Let's have a conversation. Do you want term or you want permanent insurance? My whole recommendation was to them, you are young and healthy. Get as much as you can.
Yeah.
So they're both getting $2 million of insurance to start, right? You can always reduce it, cancel it. You can't always get it. If you have an injury, an illness, you get older. We don't usually get healthier.
And then inflation brings the value down over time.
And people are like, $1 million, I'll be gone. You know, she'll be fine. $1 million? Wait, if you put that in a bag, you get 5%. That's $50,000 a year. After taxes, it's $37,000. You make $110,000. You're not even making your wife and your family whole. So there's a lot of misconceptions with life insurance, and we can talk about that next time.
All right, buddy.
But that's one of my favorite insurances because it's a necessary evil, and people need expendable income for it, but yeah. It's so important, and nobody knows anything about it, unfortunately.
There's a lot. Yeah, that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming
in. Hey, appreciate it. It was fun.
Yep. Take care. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you want more information, please reach out to us at injurypros.com. You can listen to us on any of your favorite podcast networks or listen to us and watch us on youtube.com. Thank you.